Thank you for listening to the Data Is My Science podcast, the show that makes data your passion, with your host, Dapper Data.
What's up, what's up, what's up, everybody? You're listening to the Data Is My Science podcast, the show to make data your passion. I am your host, Dapper Data. We're going to take a turn. We're going to change it up a little bit, all right? We're not diving into data science today. We're not diving into, this is going to be a part of data management. I'll let the expert be able to help us out with that. But we're not going to talk about the supervised and the supervised learning, right? We're not talking about specifically data science, but we're going to dive a little bit deeper. We're going to look a little bit deeper into data analytics as well. We're going to talk about data warehousing, all right? And if you look up the definition of it, right, you know, if I can sum up all the definitions, it seems like they're really talking about how data warehousing is really this system that aggregates the data from different sources into this single central point of view, right? You know, a consistency, if you will, of all the data into a middle location, right, where you're able to do data analysis, you're able to do data mining, you can do artificial intelligence on it, you can do machine learning on it, okay? You know, I like those buzzwords, but it's a ridiculous amount of data, right? We're talking about petabytes and probably way more than that when you get into some of them huge companies. But I want to introduce you to someone that is very, very smart, that's going to be on this podcast, that is actually going to tell us a lot about how data warehousing is really changing the future and the importance of it. So I want to introduce you all to Aaron Clymer. Aaron, say hello to everybody.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for the intro. Can I call you Dapper? Is that?
Yeah, you can call me Dapper Data or Bobby. The audience knows my first name, Bobby, whatever you prefer, you know, but Dapper Data, and they know the history behind it. So that's the name that's on the screen. I guess you can do that if you wanted to. But no, so Aaron, thank you for being on the podcast. So everybody, Aaron is the founder and CEO of a company called Data Clymer. That's right, Clymer, just like the last name, a next-gen data and analytics consulting firm that empowers every client's success by unlocking the value of data. All right, Aaron has had a lot of years in the past dealing with companies like Salesforce, right? So he's worked with Salesforce for 7 years to support all data analytics needs. And matter of fact, the company I work for right now, NetApp, we're getting ready to transition to Salesforce. So I probably need your take on some of that as well and your background on that off camera, right? But Aaron has a very interesting background. Thank you for being on the podcast. Tell them a little bit about yourself, Aaron.
Well, first, I just got to say, all of those topics are fascinating. I would love to talk about those as well, but we do want to talk about data warehousing. It's really the precursor to everything you just said. So I just want to tie that in for sure. It's a requirement, I think, for everything you just said that kind of happens downstream of the data journey. But yeah, so my name's Aaron Clymer. Thanks again. I founded Data Clymer about 6 years ago. The vision it has and always has been and is still to be a full stack data engineering consulting firm who can help customers really understand their data strategy, specifically for cloud data warehousing, and how to go about that, how to do best practices and design patterns in that space, and then how to actually implement something, get it done, and then, you know, finally take action on that data. Because if you're not doing anything with that data, of course, there's no point in doing any of this. But, you know, utilizing that data to the maximum, right, to really drive the most value you possibly can. And the answer to doing that is to do everything you just said with the data, as well as just democratize it and get it to the hands of everybody at your company, sort of integrating data into their day-to-day lives, into your business processes and into your operations. And that's kind of the in the nutshell of what we do.
No, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, and so at Data Clymer, right, you know, I saw so many different services that appeal to large and small companies out there. And it's amazing how you've been able to put all that together, right? The data strategy, the integrated teams, right? Being able to bring all these minds together, analytics members in there as well. What do you say that the sole purpose of Data Climber is, and how you all, if you could even give us an example, right, a use case of how you all have been able to help companies out with your products and services?
Yeah, you know, we're pure services. So we absolutely want to be a trusted data advisor, and we really help companies in a wide spectrum, you know, of solutions. You know, and on one end, if your organization is just getting started, maybe knows you have to hire a data team someday and do this thing called data warehousing, but you haven't really figured out how to do it, great. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we come in, help you figure that out, put a roadmap together, and then implement it. Or, you know, you're already down that journey and you just need some extra help, right? So we'll come in and augment what you're doing, speed it up, go faster. Also health checks, all sorts of ways to make sure that things are going the direction they should be going. So very wide spectrum, but you know, we are deep data experts, data warehousing experts specifically. And I say that because data warehousing, like you mentioned, it's a specific category of the broad world of data. And so when I say data warehousing, I'm really talking about, you know, what you mentioned, which is having a formal place for all your data to land. You know, most mm-hmm. companies these days, and we do focus on small to medium sized businesses, with a couple exceptions, but any small to medium sized business out there these days is often running your company off 20, 30, sometimes 75 plus SaaS applications, you know, mm-hmm. just to run your company. Every single one of those is a little bit of a slice of what's going on in your company, right? The data in there is a little bit. So you want to bring all that together into one place, tie it mm-hmm. all together, so you have a 360 degree view of your company or your product or your customer. You know, but that's the data warehouse these days is the only place where you can see it all. And, you know, you can see your entire business. So hugely valuable because of the disparate nature of data sources and the way companies are run these days. And then tying that all together so you can then utilize that data, right? In all the ways you just mentioned, data science, AI, and classic analytics, dashboarding, you know, just understanding where you've been. But predictive mm-hmm. modeling, understanding where you're going to go, what's, you know, what the future brings, all that stuff is important. Customer retention these days, really important, right? And with some of the economic headwinds we're seeing, well, the best way to retain customers is to really understand your customers and how they're interacting with you in every channel. And so getting a full view of all that in a data set is super, super empowering. So to your question about an example, I'll just give you one. We are in a lot of verticals. We work with a lot of companies. And the reason for that really is that under the covers, data warehousing specifically and the design patterns of how you model data and how you prepare data for analytics and making it analytics friendly is kind of generic. I mean, those approaches apply in every industry, you know, every company, really. It's more the difference is the kind of data that you're working with and the business questions you're trying to answer to some degree, but it's kind of generic. So we can play in a lot of spaces and we can take learnings and best practices from one area and apply it to a completely different industry. And that still works pretty well. But so one of the industries we've been successful in is actually major league sports and entertainment. So we happen to have gotten, you know, early on, we got into the San Francisco Giants as a client, helped them out with their whole cloud strategy and cloud data warehouse implementation. And to this day, they're still ecstatic about having made that choice and going that path. We're helping a lot of other major league teams, both in, you know, more recently in the NFL, including the NFL proper. So we're helping them figure out how to take all of these modern cloud solutions, tie them together. I should say modern cloud vendors really tie those together into a solution mm-hmm. and understand how they can do all this themselves. Cause that's kind of the beauty of it is 5-10 years ago, most companies, you know, it's still very difficult to do this yourself. And so it was a lot easier to outsource it to like a customer data platform or a managed service where they're really managing all the technology and managing all the engineering, you know, kind of behind the scenes and just providing a platform for you. And eventually, those platforms always have big challenges in scale, in helping you do whatever you want to do, flexibility, you know, customization, moving as fast as your business is moving. You know, they don't do very well because they're trying to be generic and try to apply, you know, a lot of customers onto one platform. Whereas if you own your own environment, you own your own destiny, you can do whatever you want, right? You can move as fast or as slow as you need to. The trick is just understanding the technology. But the tech has become so easy to use and so easy to implement that it's now a viable way to go. So with all of these NFL teams, the Las Vegas Raiders is a big one we've worked with for the last couple of years. We took them from a platform that really handled everything for them to a platform they own. So now they own and run their entire data platform in the cloud, and they love the flexibility, right? It gives them the flexibility to, you know, next week, if the leadership team wants a different approach to bringing in, let's say, a new data source and answering a new big business question that's important, you know, they can do that quickly. They don't have to wait months and months for a third-party managed service solution to, you know, sort of be able to customize their solution and get new data in and actually give them an answer.
Man, man. So a part of that is a part of Data Climber is actually educating the staff there to be able to handle it on their own. I'm assuming that has to be in place. Would I be correct in saying that?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We will often come in as a, what we call an instant data team. And, you know, next week you can have a full data team, you know,
from
data
Climber.
You can have a project manager, you can have engineers, you can have a solution architect, strategist, the whole thing. And we will train and teach our customers how to do this themselves over time and eventually hire their own team or what have you. So yeah, that's absolutely part of what we want to do. And then be a long-term partner at the same time. I mean, we value long-term partnerships and relationships because we know that this job never ends and there's always a new challenge. And so we want to be there because we can. We can be there and really help expedite the next big challenge, you know, data challenge in the system.
Right, right. So does it stop at, I guess you have the strategy portion of building the team. You have maybe if you are just starting out a data warehouse, right? You know, like you mentioned before, you have that. You have the ability to augment what you're currently doing. If they already have a data warehouse in there, does it? Do you take it as far as even helping the customer develop those actionable insights as well? Or is it more of just, hey, once it's in that location, then maybe bring in another team for something like that?
Yeah, we absolutely do that. We do we have industry experience. And so we know how to address some of the major business questions that are typical in a specific industry. Absolutely. First step is to build and model data. But yes, then we will sit side by side often with our clients and help them do that analytics. You know, the deeper and deeper you get into more complicated business questions you're trying to answer, you know, obviously being in the business is critical. You have to really understand that exactly. We're not going to do it in a vacuum or in a bubble. We're always going to partner with our clients to do that. But yes, we've absolutely helped out in a lot of ways. And it's usually a combination actually of some technical and some business outcomes. So I'll give you an example. Like one high-tech client we had, had a customer churn issue, but they weren't really sure if they were measuring churn correctly. And, you know, and how do they really get a hold on what truly is happening with churn? They were a fast growing high tech company. And they were catering to small businesses that were actually charging their credit card on a monthly basis. They had a monthly subscription model with, you know, thousands of clients, I should say. And so you needed data to answer this question. You couldn't manually go figure it out. And so we said, well, yes, we have a lot of experience measuring churn. Let's talk through what churn means to you. Just because a credit card bounces does not mean a customer's churned, right? Let's give them an extra 30 days to clear that credit card, to actually get that charge to go through, get the payment to go through. Let's call it 60 days. After 60 days, no payment. Okay, then you have a churned customer. Now we got to build. Now we understand the business parameters of how you'd measure that. Now we can build a data model that would easily answer that question. And in fact, what we did is we built a data model that snapshotted the state of the world every day for all of time. So you could see how churn has trended day to day, you know, or week to week, and really see the trends and see if you're really making progress one way or another. So it's a great example of like blending. There's a little bit of data engineering work you wanted to do to make that easy, but you had to understand the business problem really clearly to make that happen. And then the full value is there once you do it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, you know, when you get into the actual business itself and taking actionable insights, then you need to really understand. You have to be the domain expert, right? So you need to partner with them to be able to come up with that final decision. So something interesting, right? Going back to some of those use cases you mentioned, I know you mentioned cloud at some point. And with that, right, you know, if you are a vendor out there right now, I mean, they're trying everything they can, right? You know, even including NetApp, right, who I work for, love them to death. But, you know, you try everything you can, right? You know, Oracle, Hitachi, EMC, all those vendors. They're like, man, look, just please, please just have your stuff on-prem for us, you know, because they want to sell the hardware, right? You know, the hardware is bringing the money. But it's almost inevitable. You cannot fight it, right? You cannot fight the cloud. And so now you're bringing an interesting point. At one point, right, we're the vendors and the likes are trying to create this on-prem data warehouse, right? You know, you have the object stores that they're building, right? They're like, look, everybody comes, this is the central location you should be. But then you have the cloud ones, right? Amazon already has it, Azure, Google Cloud. They're like, look, you know, come into our environment, right? There's benefits. There has to be crazy amount of benefits there. Why should you run a business off of a cloud data warehouse versus on-prem?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's a couple things I'd say there. First of all, just efficiency, you know, cost reduction, efficiency of the cloud is amazing. The usage-based pricing a lot of vendors have. So we work with Snowflake a lot, for instance. They're a leading cloud data warehouse vendor. They'll charge you based on usage. And so if you're a small company, you're not using it that much. Your bill is small, but you're getting enterprise features. If you're a larger company using it more, great, you pay for the value. But that way it's kind of democratizing the feature set of the cloud. On top of that, I'd say two more things. Ease of use is incredibly different for these modern cloud systems. Just so much easier to navigate, use, get around. So it's becoming to the point where analysts or, you know, somewhat technical people can actually do what much more technical people used to have to do. So there's the ease of use is really amazing, especially in the end user tools as well, the business intelligence tools. So the ease of getting around your data and asking questions ad hoc for a business user is now very easy to do rather than being technical or having to know something like SQL. And then the final thing is there are features, and it kind of gets back to the efficiencies, that just don't exist on-prem. And this is why the overwhelming benefits of going to the cloud are already clear, I think, to a lot of companies. I'll give you one example. With Snowflake specifically, there's a feature called data sharing, which allows two different companies, let's say your partners, you know, one example would be two partner companies who want to share data. Another example would be even a larger company who has two business units that have two different instances of Snowflake and they want to share data. Instead of moving that data from one data warehouse to another, like everybody on the planet does these days, when they have to share data with each other, they'll send a file, right? Or they'll create an API and they'll create a data pipeline that will get data from point A to point B. Right. With data sharing, you can kind of just flip a switch and those set of tables just show up in the other data warehouse instantly.
Oh, man. And like you don't, a temporary thing?
Yeah.
Probably show up, you can't manipulate it, but just... they're just there for viewing, right?
Normally you wouldn't write to it, but it's all read, but you can read it and then you can join it to your data with SQL as if it was all in the same data warehouse. And you don't even, you know, the end users sometimes don't even know it's not even in your warehouse. Well, that's because data in the cloud is all logical at the end of the day. The cloud is just a big logic thing. So why not join it in those ways? And, you know, it vastly improves. I mean, I think about it. Now you have instant up-to-date data. There's no out-of-date data. It's all up-to-date because it's exactly the way it hasn't moved. It's still at its source. And you can monitor usage and all sorts of great stuff around how it's being used. There's tons of security around it. You know, you get all these other benefits of the cloud, like security, governance, that again is really important. But those are the kind of features that you just can't get on-prem. And so I see more and more of that stuff happening. That's going to just drive the reasons to go to the cloud are going to be so overwhelmingly obvious that we'll all be in the cloud eventually.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, it's like if you can't beat them, join them, right? You know, more of the vendors should probably just start to create more applications that can be in those marketplaces, right? You know, to bring value and to be able to continue to fund on a similar basis to their or on a similar scale as what their hardware is bringing in as far as revenue at the time. You know, that transition, if they get ahead of it, right? You know, they could get ahead of it because everybody's still in the process of doing it. You know, but if you wait too long, then now you're having a ridiculous amount of competing marketplace applications that are going to be in there, and they're probably already getting there to that point. You know, I really love the cloud because of the automatic scalability that's there, right? You know, I mean, I can instantaneously, right? If I need more resources, it just does it on its own, right? You know, if it's on-prem, you know, I have, say, an object store and I have the hard, the physical storage there and I'm running out. I have to set my thresholds at a certain point, which you can do in the cloud too. But now I have to set it and then you have to worry about the purchase cycle, right? To purchase a new disk shelf that comes in just so you can bring it in really quick and you can hurry up and, you know, make sure it's there before you run out. So you can add as much data as you want, as fast as you want in the cloud. And then as soon as it hits that threshold, it's just voila, right? You know, look at Google Storage, right, for us right now. We're just able to just, you know, purchase more storage and just comes up, right? You know, so. Yeah.
Now you nailed it. I mean, I went through decades of all of those headaches of scaling and scoping to capacity. And then there's concurrency and all of these issues with legacy systems like that. And that's been a breath of fresh air, really, to not have to think about that stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. That's another thing I love about working in these cloud systems. You focus on the business. Yeah. Questions, you need, you know, like you said, infinite scalability. So, and it happens automatically. It just spins up. There's just so many cool things like the fact that it's automatic, but you can also purposely speed things up if you need to, and you can do it very easily. You can do it through a UI or you can do it programmatically. Mm-hmm. But like, let's just, as an example, let's say you have a data job that takes an hour and it runs, you know, every 4 hours, whatever. And, you know, all of a sudden, executive leadership says, or customers demand, or whatever the reason is, they say, no, we need that done in that thing to run in 5 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever. Yeah. We need to cut that by 50% or more. Well, you can just flip a switch and you can actually do it programmatically in your code. You can say, okay, now we're going to run this job. Let's jack up the CPUs by 100% and just do it. And then jack it back down. You know, you can control these things. And it's just a one line of code. You know, so it's very easy.
Right. We better stop before I lose my job, man.
Sorry.
No, I'm just playing. No. So I want to take a step back, right? There are many roles that are out there that are around data, right? You have data engineers, you have, data scientists, you have data analysts, you have, you just have, you know, maybe CEO of chief data officer out there, right? Do you believe all these roles are needed, and how can you become a data hero at your organization and in any one of these roles? Or one more question, if I wanted to become a data hero, should I become one of these roles so I can be that person?
Absolutely. Now, you know, the one idea is that, so first of all, I'd say yes. I mean, all of these roles are required. Data is still a difficult beast to, you know, to tame in a way. If you don't have governance, if you don't have a strategy around it, you get Wild West, and that's almost worse than having no data. If it's just out there and there's no governance and people are doing whatever they want, everybody has a different number. They're getting, you know, different results. Sales and marketing can't agree on anything that's actually happening in the company. It can be really bad. And you've got 5,000 versions of a dashboard, whatever it is. So you need a team that is governing that, as well as the data ingestion and the modeling. All that's really important. So that's why I think data warehousing is so, it's such a critical step in everything else you said, like to do anything else, to do all your data science and your AI and your ML. You really need clean, good data to start with, right? Otherwise, it's garbage in, garbage out. You don't want to spend all this time building a model that actually doesn't do anything for you because your data is dirty. So there's a huge amount of value to a team that knows what they're doing, coming in, bringing in the data, making sure it's trusted, absolutely, you know, ensuring it's up to date, trusted, you know, tested as much as possible, cleaned, and then transformed into a way that then is user-friendly or analytical-friendly or AI-friendly, data science-friendly, right? All of that. And then downstream is fed into the business for all of these purposes. So you need roles to do that. You definitely need data engineers, you need analytical engineers, and so forth. And all the way up, and I think that data leaders, essentially managers within the data for the data in your company, should probably be aligned with like the growth team, you know, or somewhere where you're really focusing on what are you going to use this data for the most, you know, how is the data going to be leveraged the most? If you're a growing company in growth and you have a chief growth officer, for instance, data might roll up into that person. But it kind of depends on what your company's strategy is and what the priorities are. But yes, I think data in itself is such a big, important thing, and it's getting even more important. So the data warehouse is moving from classically being a backward-looking analytical environment for just analyzing what's happened and figuring out where we are now, to running your business off the data warehouse. It's becoming much more of an operational central key platform. So just for example, again, back to that idea, if you have 30 SaaS apps running your company, there's only one place you have a full view of your customer. That's in your data warehouse. Well, that full view and most up-to-date view is probably very important to act on right now through your marketing applications, through your CRM, through everything. So you want to bring that data back out into those systems, you know, the data that those systems did not have otherwise. And so there's actually an outflow of data going back out to all these systems these days, meaning your data warehouse is now running, you know, your operations running. Your company.
Yeah. I mean, no, that's interesting because now that goes back to what we talked about a little earlier, how the data warehouse is the operational piece, right? You know, they're now being the ones that's what's driving it. It's almost like that federated learning model, you know, where you're dumping everything into the central location, and that is the sort of decision maker for everything. And if you think about it, like you mentioned before, when we were in these silos, right, of different organizations, you know, we had all these different separated decisions happening, and you probably was driving in about 100 different directions and didn't even know it. But now you probably can drive in one direction by following what's coming out of that data warehouse itself.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to be the hero we were talking about, you can, anybody in the company can be the data hero because the technologies have become so easy to use in a way. So as long as you are a champion of using data, there's a lot you can do now. You can get things done quickly. Again, with the cloud, you can bring in new data sources very quickly, very easily. Often with a click of the button, you don't even have to be technical to bring in a data source. Often you'll use something like Fivetran, which has custom or pre-built connectors for most major systems. Click a button and start feeding that data into your warehouse. And then you use a BI tool like Sigma Computing we use a lot, which has a spreadsheet interface, very easy to understand for an end user. You can then start exploring that data right away. So you can be a data hero without having data in your title, you know, being part of that data team we just talked about, or being part of IT. That's the beauty of, I think, where we are now with cloud, is that anybody can be a data hero in their company by just more having the vision of how to use the data. Because if you know how you're going to use it, you can definitely get it and start using it.
That's a great point, you know, and it makes me think how we overlook that every role in the company is a part of that, you know. Like you said, not just a data scientist, analyst, engineer, right? Just because you have data in your name, then you assume that you're a part of that, the entire data process, but that's not the case. I mean, initially when somebody is putting in an Excel spreadsheet, right? And they're just maybe an admin or something, and that's a part of the data message ultimately. But if you're sending in some data that's not clean, right? With all these white spaces in it and all funky looking and stuff, you know, and you're just sending in bad data. Ultimately, that combined with maybe 100 other different data sources, you know, could cause bad data. So you have to be a good data steward regardless. If you're in the organization, then, I mean, based off of what you're talking about, that is all a part of how to make that data warehouse clean.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody has a part in it. And the nice thing is the more people that use the data, you know, the more feedback the data team gets and the quickly feeds off itself. The data gets cleaner and cleaner, better and better, more valuable. So more people that use it equals more value to your data.
And when you say data governance, are you, as far as governance for that, maybe the data warehouse, are you talking about prior to it or even just, or all around, even the data warehouse itself or prior to the data going in, you know, at which part would it matter or does it matter all around?
Yeah, it's a big term and it does apply to the entire spectrum of the data from the source and how it's even entered and managed all the way through the pipelines of the data warehouse. Typically in data warehousing, when I say governance, I'm referring to the fact that you have data that's already been tested and trusted and cleaned and is trustworthy is the main thing. If you lose trust in your data, the data projects will die fast and people will stop using it really fast, right? So you got to maintain trust. As with relationships, once you've lost trust, it's really hard to build it back up. So you gotta have trustworthy data. And so ultimately, you want people to, like, even with a KPI, you want the definition of a KPI to be ideally locked down somewhere the data team manages so that people aren't changing the definition of how you measure something, right? They're just using it. So everybody should be able to analyze how a KPI is affected by this or that. You know, if you're looking at sales, you know, conversion rates, you want the definition of conversion to be locked and governed, but you want everybody to be able to like analyze that and say, hey, why are conversion rates up for this product or in this region or for, you know, let's go figure that out together. But the definition of conversion should be governed. So it's more about governing the data itself and the KPIs and the metrics and making sure that those are locked down.
Yeah, great point. I mean, it's funny because I actually came across this when analyzing some of the data within a company. It was years ago. And just something as simple as one part of the company used customer ID, right? Like just spelled out customer ID. And I thought it was different from this other part of the company who used user ID instead of customer ID, but it was literally like the same thing and they should have called it the same thing. So it messed us up. It was something that simple, right?
That's a great example. In a data warehouse, that would all be brought together and called one thing.
Yeah.
So no confusion, right? So yes, those little things make a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so we're coming close to the end. I really appreciate you being on the podcast, Aaron. You have been an excellent, excellent, excellent guest. Usually I like to end with what I call a dope nugget or gem at the end of the podcast. And what I've learned so far is that, you know, all roles play a part in cleaning your data, right? In and out, right? From ingestion, from a person that could be an admin, a person that could be in any other role, that domain expert of the specific part within the company, they play a big role all the way to the data scientist, the visualization expert, you know, all the way to the CEO that's probably looking at the visualization and actually talking about it, you know, and how important cloud data warehousing is, right? For the audience out there, I don't think we've had a topic right now that dealt with data warehousing specifically. And so they're probably going to be super excited about this and understanding how it helps with cost reduction, usage-based efficiency, as you mentioned before. It's very important to understand that cloud data warehousing is the future, right? You know, and I know you talked a lot about that and how it's really the decision maker or the driver. And I thought that was an amazing way to put it. Is there anything that you want to leave the audience with?
Just be wary when you see user ID and customer ID and make sure that they're the same. Really, like, that ties it in. That's exactly the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's really, it blew my mind. I thought it was two different things at one point, you know, but yeah. So thank you, Aaron. I really appreciate it. Now we're going to jump right into this game, this really quick game that I like to play. It's called Overrated, Underrated. And the audience knows I love to play this game because it gets us out of our typical, geeky mentality, right? You know, we are not always geeking it out. We do have fun. We enjoy ourselves, you know. Out of the 24 hours, we probably spend about 1 hour actually doing some fun stuff. But, you know, we do it. You know, we do think about things like milk, right? We do think about, we have an opinion about cereal, right? You know, we were asked about it. So we have an opinion about brunch. I love brunch. You know, I love going on brunch on Sunday. So we have an opinion about that. I'm just not always in front of the computer all the time. So, yeah. So I basically asked you a series of topics, right? I'll throw them out there and you get to decide whether you think it is overrated, underrated, or right where it needs to be. You can elaborate if you want. If not, you can keep moving.
Sounds ready good. To go? Yeah.
All right. Camping.
Oh, that is underrated. I think that getting out there in nature is one of the most important things you can do.
Oh, man. Yeah. I've been camping probably, I guess I can count it when I was in Boy Scouts, but I probably did it another time. I remember, I think when I got a little bit older, when I was in my early 30s at one point, and it was a great experience. You know, I definitely wish I can get out there and do it again, especially like real camping where you, you know, remove all the technology away and you're just out there, you know, with the outdoors. So yeah, I can agree with that.
Especially if there's places with no cell signal, that's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you own a business and things like that, right? You know, you want to be able to get away at some point. All right. So the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh man, super underrated.
He's from Minnesota, right? Oh, he lives there. I don't know if you're from Minnesota, but he lived there now. Yeah. So I think they're doing a great job this year.
They're finally where they ought to be, right?
yeah, man. Kirk Cousins, man. What's that statement he makes all the time where they like to repeat it again after all the time? Where he's always yelling. I forgot it, you know. All right. Jazz music.
Jazz music. Oh, that feels very underrated too. I mean, I don't know. I love going to jazz when I can, but it's so, I find it, I don't know, hard to find when I'm traveling around, or it takes more time to find it, you know, find a good jazz club. And but that's a really good question. I think that's underrated as well.
Yeah. Whether anything is really relaxing.
What's the question? Is anything that's.
Do you think it's really relaxing?
Sorry. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a great way to, it's. Yeah, very enjoyable, very relaxing, totally smooths out your evening.
All right. The printer.
The printer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably right where it should be, where people rarely even remember they have a printer.
Yeah. I was talking to a guest a while ago about a printer, and for me, I'm always having an issue with the printer for some reason. You know, as technical as I am, you know, it's that's one thing that will make me feel like I've never touched technology before, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I thank God for like cloud documents. It's just
I know, man. Exactly. All right, ice cream.
Oh, that's definitely underrated. You can't get enough ice cream.
You can't get enough ice cream. That's my favorite dessert right there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. What's your favorite ice cream?
Fish food.
Fish food?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say I'm butter pecan.
Oh.
Butter pecan.
I can't handle, like, those kind of flavors in ice cream.
Oh,
I don't like peanut butter is one of those things where it needs to be pure and not in a dessert to me. Like, I just, like, I'll eat peanut butter, but I won't eat peanut butter ice cream.
Yeah.
Coffee. You just, coffee's coffee. Just drink coffee.
Yeah.
I can't handle it in my dessert.
All right. Pizza.
Pizza. Well, that's probably where it should be. I mean, who doesn't like pizza?
I know.
So popular.
All right. Three more. Lakes.
Oh, lakes are definitely underrated. I mean,
Minnesota has like the land of 10,000 lakes, right? As they said,
that's like one of the things I love about Minnesota. One of the best things about Minnesota, the lakes in the summer. Absolutely. You got to get out on the water as much as possible. That's another, it's almost like camping. It's like you connect with nature. It feels great.
I haven't been to too many lakes, but I can imagine how, too many known lakes, I guess. I can imagine how peaceful it is, right? You know, being out there.
I was going to say, I actually grew up in the desert. So when you grow up in the desert, you value water even more, right? Like a lake is incredible. So.
Oh, man. Where'd you grow up at?
I love it. In Texas, West Texas.
Oh, Texas. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Two more. The vodka gimlet. Did I say it right?
Yes. Super underrated. That's the best drink on the planet.
Yeah. Well, would you compare it to something? What would you compare it to as far as another drink that is more popular or more known? Because I've never tasted vodka gimlet before. I've never been a big vodka person.
It's just lime juice. Classically, a gimlet is gin and lime juice and a little sweetener. So think of it's almost like a margarita, right? But with vodka in this case. So yeah. I like vodka because it's smooth. So it's a super simple drink, but yet it's amazing how hard it is to find a really good, bartender who can make a really good gimlet. So it's just that right balance of tartness of the lime and the sweetness of the simple syrup.
Yeah, it does seem like it has to be like a perfect balance. All right, last one, social media.
Social media, oh man. I think that's so overrated in so many ways in so many places. Yeah. I wish we had more human-to-human contact.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Aaron, thank you. I appreciate you being on the podcast. Audience, you have listened to the Data is My Science podcast, the show that makes data your passion. I am your host, Dapper Data. We have learned a lot. Definitely tune in. Aaron, where could they reach you at? And is there anything that you're promoting right now?
Yeah, you can find us at our website's the best place, so dataclimber.com. That's D-A-T-A. And then my last name is spelled C-L-Y-M-E-R.com. I used my last name because the domain was available and it made a lot of sense. And we had a lot of great stories about that. So, and we climb data. You know, our tagline is, are you on top of your data? And it's true. Mm-hmm. You got to climb up to the top of your data and get on top of it. So yeah, you can find us there. We have a lot of stuff going on. Just check out the website and if you want to contact me directly there, you can as well.
All right, great. Well, thank you, Aaron. Audience, you can reach me at Mr. Dapper Data or any one of the social media platforms. As you know, definitely check out my link in the bio. Definitely check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DapperData, and subscribe to it, please. Thank you again, Aaron. And audience, I'll check you out next week. Peace.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Data is My Science podcast, the show that makes data your passion, with your host, Dapper Data.